CliffCentral.com.
Interesting stuff. It's Monday morning, the weekend, can't feel my face. See, I just got to listen and what that song's all about. Huh? Isn't that right?
Had to impart the wisdom onto Anthea as well.
Yeah.
We were busy jamming to it and we're in the groove. And then I'm like, no, actually, it's about cocaine.
I did not know that.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
I thought, you know, it's just some
lots of good songs
guys
about cocaine.
Which chicks sat on him. I don't know.
What?
I
mean,
he visited her in the snow.
It's about cocaine.
But more about Belly's cocaine. One, though.
Okay. I should pay more attention to lyrics. That's the problem.
Correct.
What mess are we singing, guys? Who knows what we're singing in all of these popular songs?
Well, sometimes you only find out later, and then you're kind of a little bit put off. Like, I saw that the cherry chapstick in Katy Perry's song.
Yes, I Kissed a Girl.
Can you guess what that is?
Wait.
Go on to Urban Dictionary, look up cherry chapstick. Do yourself a
favor. Wait, does it have like a little meaning?
Go on. Well, of course it's got a little meaning. Go and look it up.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Is that because she kissed a girl because she was tired of some guy's little cherry chapstick?
No, guys.
What's a cherry chapstick, Sia? Educate
I'll
everybody.
Never sing that song
Go on.
Again.
What is it? I kissed a girl and I liked it. The taste of her cherry chapstick.
Ah,
what is it?
Okay.
An engorged clitoris reddened from excessive flicking, licking, or...
Jeepers, my body size was sitting on your face. Now this from Sia.
What is that?
All right. Everybody calm down. Wow.
Avi, too late now.
Avi says, Super Bowl 2017, I watched all 4 hours of the 75-minute game. What a comeback by the New England Patriots.
What, after they cleared the stage? I agree.
Ashley says, oh, look, the Women's League gets to pretend they're looking after women's issues by endorsing Jacob Zuma's chosen candidate. More of the patriarchy. Julian says, what an atrocious song Ben chose earlier. It feels like it's perpetually shopping and for training bras. Thanks, Big Head Ben.
It's a pleasure. I gave 0.07 seconds for that song.
All right, we'll take some more messages from you. You know how to get hold of us on WeChat, on WhatsApp, and on Twitter. Ugh, increased taxes. Why don't they collect squandered or stolen taxes already paid? I couldn't agree more. Like, the fact that they're going to tax us ordinary people of this country more just shows you what contempt this government have for us. Time for them to go. Starting my week with Cliff Central this morning, I watched the first episode of Planet Earth 2 this weekend.
Oh, me too, last night. Wow.
What a spectacle.
The islands, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Mabale, can I taste your juice from John?
No.
Okay. Is your answer ever going to be yes?
No.
All right. At Blitz Booker says, yep, amazing start to this campaign. I'm not sure what that's referring to.
Well, they've 3 out of 4 wins.
Oh, very good.
It's about as good as it gets. Okay. I think the last team to do that was New Zealand back in their real pomp.
Ben, it's your fault that there were bees at the cricket. Remember, they loved you enough to move into your house a while ago.
Yeah, I did think that, but I tried to keep it quiet.
They were following you around.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm actually kind of like moved by all of this. So now I'm actually finding out more and more about songs that have a dirty meaning to them. And I'm actually surprised. Okay, so for example, Cake by the Ocean by DNCU, you can sort of make that up. But it goes to something like Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride actually has a little meaning.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so
that's the Beatles.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
she got a backstage pass.
The term was coined by John Lennon. He came up with it in reference to a medical card that German prostitutes used to carry to prove that they are clean.
Awesome.
So here we should
put that back in the lingo.
Guys, we used to sing this with like our parents.
Are you HIV positive or negative? We should say, do you have a ticket to ride?
Oh my goodness. Huh? Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. Literally, it's about a summer of 69ing. What is going on?
Similarly, Taylor Swift's 22 is about the number of souls she's stolen. It feels like a perfect nice dress by hipsters make fun of our exes that we've eaten.
Oh.
Come on,
amazing.
Ben.
Yeah, you've really uncovered something here.
All right. Well, who knows? I mean, there are lots of these songs where the meaning is slightly more shrouded in obscurity, but otherwise,
yeah,
there are a lot that are very obvious.
You know, Tutti Frutti by Little Richard, that Tutti Frutti.
Tutti Frutti.
Mm-hmm. Well, we never know the words to it because it's Tutti Frutti, good booty.
Right. Well, we can pretty much guess.
Like the original lyrics, and they were slightly changed.
Most of the lyrics are woo and
That's how it gets into the vibe.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Wannabe by the Spice Girls. There's a roll call in it, and that's all about like how they prefer to have sex. My goodness, I am changed by this
Spice
now.
Spice Girls.
And of course, we can expect that birthday cake by Rihanna has nothing to do with her birthday or a cake.
All right, I thought this might be interesting because it keeps coming up on our show. Bongola. Ay, ay, ay. Gonkolo Tsane sent this to me. I kid you not. Gonkolo Tsane.
How do you spell it?
Q-H-O-N-Q-H-O-L-O-T-S-A-N-E. Don't laugh, Lucas. How dare you?
I have no idea how to pronounce that either.
I found this clip of Ben Shapiro explaining what fake news is to Dave Rubin. I think the listeners will enjoy this comprehensive explanation of the latest buzzword. It's definitely worth it to listen to the full clip. So, do you want to listen to this?
Yeah, this
goes
brilliant.
Fake news is? All right, let's try this. See how it goes.
All right, so I'm going to guess that we can't solve the entire thing right here, but I think something we can possibly solve is the media question related to all of this, because mainstream media is absolutely crumbling. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
What do you think first of the meme of fake news? It seems pretty obvious to me, although I don't know the full conspiracy behind it, that someone in power is pushing out this idea because they lost control.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy so much as somebody says that there's one story that comes out about a fake news and everybody seizes on it, right?
Yeah.
Which is usually how, like, being in the right wing media, that's how it works. It's a shark scrum. Like, the chum is in the water, all the sharks come. So somebody says fake news, they go, that's a great excuse for why Hillary Clinton lost because everybody believed all these fake things.
Right. Now, so it's a conspiracy of basically lazy people.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think that that's not to say there isn't such a thing as fake news. There is. I mean, there are a lot of stupid headlines that go around that are not true and that we spend time debunking, you know, from the right and from the left, things that are just patently false.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump himself was a rather large promulgator of things that were false. And it was important to try and debunk those. But the media had so shredded its own credibility that it couldn't fairly debunk any of this stuff because they were saying things that were false were true for years. And then along comes Trump. And he basically runs a post-truth campaign. So you have two candidates running post-truth campaigns, the media insisting that only one is running a post-truth campaign, and then everybody going, wait a second, like, you don't get to be the arbiters of truth because you blew all your credibility a long time ago. Well, the problem is that now no one's an arbiter for truth. So the media certainly wasn't. So I'm glad to see them come down.
Yeah.
What I would like to see take its place is, okay, now let's honestly analyze what's true and what's not true, as opposed to what serves our interest and what doesn't. So the Washington Post called me recently and they asked, if you're trying to determine whether a news source is credible or not, what are sort of some quick keys?
Yeah.
And I said, well, the easiest thing is, are they open with their bias? And do they run stories that counter their bias? Right? If they're a news outlet and they only run left-wing stories, and they're left-wing sites, they only run left-wing stories, they never run a story that counters anything that they say, then, you know, you should double check for sure.
That's quite a good point, because we're always trying to figure out who is, you know, trustworthy, credible. So what Ben Shapiro is saying is the first thing you should do is see if they acknowledge their bias. Like, if you acknowledge, for example, if the Huffington Post says that we are a left-leaning publication, if they acknowledge that, first of all, that's honest. So they're already starting to speak some truth there.
Yeah.
The next thing they do is they've just occasionally got to run stories that don't go with their bias. Like sometimes they've got to include a story from Kellyanne Conway or the Trump side saying X, Y, and Z and not comment on it like it's a joke. Then maybe you'd have some cred. You know, you're trying to be objective.
Yeah.
Show that you can do that. All right, that's the first point.
They're probably just a propaganda outlet. But if they're a site, like I think the Washington Post is actually better than the New York Times this way. The New York Times is entirely one perspective. The Washington Post, I'm not talking about their opinion columnists. I'm talking about the news that they break.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Washington Post was actually breaking some anti-Hillary news in the last 3 weeks before the election cycle. So, you know, I think it's important to distinguish those. But, yeah, I mean, when there's no gatekeeper, the good news is there's no gatekeeper. The bad news is there's no gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Right?
So what do you think?
It's not a fully great thing because nothing has emerged yet that act as a that. And maybe that's just because we're demanding more of people, but people have to demand more of it. I'm not saying there should be somebody who, like, I'm not the gatekeeper. You're not the, no one's the gatekeeper, but I'm my own gatekeeper, right? I analyze the news for myself, and I don't just believe every headline that I see on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that I do think is a concern, because that's going to polarize the news. If you're just picking the headlines that reinforce your bias, then you're not likely to achieve anything remotely resembling the truth. The best indicator is if somebody's hated by both sides, that's a pretty good indicator that they're at least baseline honest.
Baseline honest.
So if a media organization is completely hated by both sides, then you know they're probably honest. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, you're not really looking for popular anymore. You're not really looking for ratings anymore. You're looking for someone who has a bad sentiment from the left and the right. And they are likely. Thank you for that that clip. That's awesome. I love that name. QQ. That's what the QQ Lukele.
Sure.
But the name is Onkolo Tsane.
I wonder what it means.
I don't know.
But how we even
That's Xhosa, right?
I would assume so. The surname sounds closer.
Okay.
Yeah. How we even got to this point where fake news is a thing. It's
a real thing. All right. I just thought that might be interesting. And thanks for the clip. It's always nice when people send me that kind of thing. You want to hear Arnold talking about pollution? This is funny.
That's because Donald and his boys have taken this away from the agenda, right?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger hates Donald Trump now. Remember, he's taken over The Apprentice, and Donald Trump said, oh, he'll never get great ratings. So now Arnold is taking every opportunity he can to smack back at Trump. But listen to this. This is funny.
7 million people die every year worldwide because of pollution-related illnesses. It's more than from car accidents, more from suicides than homicides and wars and all of those things together.
What happened? Found a shitstorm.
We are told that fighting pollution means harsh regulations that will cripple business. Politicians, they say, it's too costly to fix.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
Imagine how absurd for a politician in Washington to talk about too costly. They love to spend money. And you know something else? Some politicians even want to shut down the EPA's ability to regulate carbon. I would like to strap their mouth to an exhaust pipe of a truck, turn on the engine, and let's see how long it would take them to tap out. This is absolute nonsense. It's all bogus.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
In California, we have shown that you can do both. Protect the environment and the economy at the same time.
Yeah, he's speaking with experience. California passed strict climate change laws. The state's economy grew by 12.4%. So you can grow the economy and favor the environment. So he's not speaking with a forked tongue. But listen to how animated Arnold is. He's like, yeah, you're a bunch of idiots. You don't know what you're doing. You should listen to me. I've run this place very well.
I love how Arnold has, you know, he's kept his accent, unlike those idiots who go to the States for like 3 months and come back speaking differently.
Yeah, those people are bozos. Come on.
But also, he was cheating on his wife with a variety of nationalities, which he keeps in check.
Yeah, he's an equal opportunity. And she wasn't even attractive, the maid. I banged the maid and she was a very ugly woman.
Heartbeat and two legs. That's the bare minimum.
I have to talk to you about something. I did a bit of shopping on Saturday morning in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a poster up on a wall with five girls on it. Three of the girls were thin model types. And two of them were big girls. And they were obviously, they just put them in there. But it drew my eye. I couldn't help looking at the two bigger girls.
Because you are strangely attracted to them, or just because
a rarity? It's a rarity. You never see bigger girls in advertising. So they've got these three slim, slender model type girls, and then in between them, kind of spaced one, then a fat one, then one, then one. They had these curvy girls.
What is this poster for?
Clothing business. Some kind of clothing store.
Do you feel if there were more curvy girls being advertised like that, you'd be more attracted to curvier girls?
No, I don't respond to advertising for what I like.
Yeah, no, but like, point being is that from day one, advertising has always pictured this girl being of a certain kind.
I do think they'd attract more bigger girls into the store by making it look like it was accessible. But I don't think it would change society's view on
I think what Ben is saying, not you personally and like in a second you change, but the overall narrative. And I'd have to say actually, yes. You know, it's just like what sex is or what a sex symbol is. We've just been bombarded with what this image is.
Sorry, there's kind of a reason that that was the image. The advertising didn't come first. The advertising looked for a subject. You understand? And said, what are people attracted to? And then they put those kinds of girls in advertising. They didn't go, okay, advertising industry, who are we going to choose? They were like, what do people like? They went with that. I mean, what do you think, Mubs?
I don't know. I think there's merit to what Ben and Sia are saying. I mean, if you, you know, if you look at society's, the way that society has changed their perception of curvier girls. So people like Kim Kardashian and Beyonce and them, you know, they've kind of played a role in people not being into stick thin necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, what's considered what's considered sexy has changed. It's not stick thin anymore. It's about boobs and ass and thigh.
Maybe.
So I think there's merit to what Ben and Sia say.
Okay, you three, you win. That's
no,
the end
we
of that
don't.
Win, yes, you win. The conversation's done.
We're not here to win it. We just want to get you in touch with what you like in life.
I know what I like. I know what I like. I saw these bigger girls and it was kind of a shock to me. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I think that speaks to where the culture's going as well.
Yeah, of course.
Things are changing.
Sure. You know, you got Lena. Did anyone see that picture of Amy Schumer with the late Carrie Fisher?
Mm-mm.
Oh, let me see if I can find it for you. It's beautiful. So there's a nice picture going around, and it's got a picture of Carrie Fisher. And behind her is well-known and respected actress Amy Schumer.
Okay.
Well-known and respected? Is that slightly?
No.
Oh, come on.
It's Jabba the Hutt.
Come on.
All right. Listen, enough of that crap. Let's get into some serious news. Here's Mubs. What do you got for us?
Oh, okay. So Silicon Valley have decided that they are now going to step into this confrontation with Donald Trump, his administration, and, you know, this travel ban. Yeah. So last night, companies like Uber, Twitter, and Netflix, and a whole list of other prominent tech companies, they're now all going to plan to file legal briefing opposing the administration's travel ban, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else is on here. Okay, so you've got companies that are backing this filing also include Pinterest, Yelp, Square, Reddit, Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole list of prominent tech companies, you know, Silicon Valley, I suppose, now wanting to take some or other kind of united stand against Donald Trump's administration.
But weren't they all Hillary voters anyway? It's not like this is news to anybody.
I don't know if they were Hillary voters or not.
I think they were.
Companies like Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, or Facebook, you know, they don't seem to appear on the list.
Yeah, I suppose they're also just looking for their own business. You heard Uber have been boycotted and were boycotted because one of Uber's executives were in the Trump administration as an advisor.
Yeah.
And he has had to resign from that position on Trump's administration, go back to Uber for the money. And now people are saying, okay, we might use Uber again. But I don't know whether that boycott was actually working or not. It probably had some effect or he wouldn't have resigned.
Well, while that boycott was on, Lyft, which is the opposition basically, had more downloads than ever before for a certain period.
Well, then maybe there's some work to be done. Maybe we've got to completely separate down two lines. Everybody gets to support companies that vote DA and everybody gets to support companies that vote ANC, and we see which companies do better.
Interestingly,
can you imagine that?
Interestingly, there was a social media protest that came from that whole Uber thing with the guy that you were talking about who was a Trump supporter, with people urging, you know, others to delete the Uber app, and over 200,000 Uber accounts actually got deleted from that protest.
You could put the devil, Satan, in charge of the world, and I still wouldn't delete Uber. I find the thing completely awesome. I used it over the weekend too. I will not hire a car again.
I don't think anyone needs to ever.
I mean, I happened to, but most of the time I left the car in the garage and took an Uber.
See, now, why didn't all of these people, though, come out to play before the elections?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great numbers. What, 500,000 people deleted Uber? Well, how about if 500,000 people went and they voted in a swing state? I'm not being pessimistic here, but I really can't applaud or congratulate all of these great strides now when it's too late. Suck it up, grin and bear it for the next 4 years.
All right, what else have we
got? Is it 5 years?
4 more years.
Oh, it's 4 years in the States.
Yeah, no, only do four. We do five. What else is happening? There's lots going on. People want to know. People want to talk about
people
stuff.
Guts to
you know that the other European countries are starting to send clips, just like the Holland one. Remember the Dutch sent that clip?
America there are so
first.
Many.
America first, and then they said, please, just make Holland second. So now the Swiss are doing one. And they also are trolling Donald Trump. This is funny. A message from the
Dear
government
Mr.
of Switzerland.
Mr. President, welcome to this introduction video about Switzerland.
Why are you
the sexiest country in Europe. Look at those mountains. Those big, fat mountains. We're not flat like, for example, the Netherlands. They're so flat, total disaster. We have the best women. They're all tens. Just look at our weather girl. Her name is Sandra Boner. Boner. And we also love to treat our women badly. Love it. We didn't let them vote until 1971. In some places, even until 1990. We grabbed them by the civil rights. And they let us do it. It was great. Switzerland is so clean. It's terrific. Even our slums are pretty. We have the best flag. It's a huge plus. You might know it. Your friends got their flag from us. And like the KKK, we also like to ride on horses and burn things. Switzerland is very safe. We have no Mexicans here. Just look. No Mexicans here. No Mexicans there. Nowhere. It's terrific. We have the best military. Everybody says so. Even the Pope. We send him our best fighters, the Swiss Guard, real tough guys. Look at those pants. Great style. You don't like the EU? We hate it too. That's why we invented Brexit. Switzerland was never a part of the EU. Never. Brexit should be called Schwexit or Swixit or...
All right, you get the basic idea. And then Denmark have also done one. Right?
Denmark, Portugal,
everyone is just acting like a 12-year-old.
Well, what I love is this is really, I mean, for example, I did not know that the Swiss only gave women the right to vote in 1979. Did you?
That was very late of
them.
That's
a hell of a long time. I mean, wow, that's a long time to wait. And we tend to think of Europe as being so liberal and open-minded and progressive, and women only got the vote close to 1980? Huh?
Jeez.
Yeah. So I'm finding out a lot of stuff about these different countries. Please, keep it up, Europe. We need this. You want to hear the German one?
Yeah.
Because the Germans are bound to be funny, right?
There's a message from the government of the Federal Republic of Germany.
Dear Mr. President, this is an introduction video about Germany, the best country in Europe. Better than the Netherlands, bad people the Dutch. Everything is orange in the Netherlands, which we totally love because you are orange too. But the Dutch are dangerous. Totally destroyed the hair of Rudy Foller. A total disaster, believe us. German culture is the best culture in the world. We have Kultur Candela, great band, the German Three Doors Down, and we have Pietro Lombardi and Sarah Lombardi. He is a normal person, and she is a bitch. It's true. Oh. Everyone says so. She is a bitch. This is the Oktoberfest. It's the best beer fest God ever created. There is pee everywhere. You would love it. Just saying, great pee, German beer pee, or as we call it in Germany, Bud Light.
Bud Light. All right, there we go. That's enough of that crap. But it is entertaining. I love it.
So Friday, some more. Friday saw Henry van Bredaar go back to court,
yes.
Right?
Bredaar?
Yeah. So 27th of March is now the big kickoff of the trial.
So, I mean, what's that was the whole reason he went to court?
Just yeah, so they could well, look, he's the currently out on a 100,000 rand bail, which just fell out of his wallet, apparently. Yeah. And so, yeah, they go there and they set the dates, and his defense team already kind of shown some angles. All right. So they believe that the DNA collection at the crime scene wasn't done properly. So they're hoping that because, you know, think about it, the person defending Henry is the guy who was involved in defending Srinivani, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like all these cases, the police will probably cock it up because it's taken how long? 2 years to get to where we are right now. Mm. So they're going to try to find some holes in the data, in the evidence capturing of the scene.
You know what's interesting is that clearly this is the same excuse that Oscar Pistorius and his people used.
Yeah.
That the crime scene was tampered with. It wasn't investigated properly. They didn't have the right forensic team in there. They didn't pick up all the evidence. Their evidence is scant, blah, blah, blah. We've heard this before, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bull, I smell.
Bullshit.
Anyway, good luck to him. Even if they prove that the forensic evidence is crappy, who did it then? Who did it?
Some random criminal who broke into the house, Gareth.
They broke in and then they got out without leaving a trace.
I mean, have they even approached the Tooth Fairy off center?
Oh, yes.
Or the Easter Bunny?
Now they need to go to court.
I mean, you got to ask these questions.
And why did they use the axe that Henry had bought just a few days before? It just, why are we even taking so much time on this? The judge should go straight on over to the house, just take his gavel with him to where Henry lives right now, just,
yeah,
guilty.
Sometimes judges and the law are just too politically correct. See, I wouldn't be able to hold my tongue if I was not a judge. Just like sit there and go bullshit.
This is
stop lying.
It's not politically correct. It's just like they're following the process, and you have to, otherwise the law would be a sham, and you know, you'd have people going to jail for no good reason just because the judge didn't like your face.
It would be way more exciting if that happened. True.
Yeah, just Judge Dredd. We like, need a couple of those.
Like, that's a fake cry. Guilty.
Yeah. Just listen to his 911 call if you need any more proof that the guy's definitely 99% guilty. I leave 1% because, you know what, I'm a reasonable doubt kind of guy.
You see, he needs... No.
There isn't another suspect.
And I'd like to know how he justifies it. So cool, you say it wasn't you. Then who was it?
Yeah, what
did
were you doing?
Yeah,
sleeping in your bed?
Coming in.
It's madness.
You can't really murder yourself with an axe. So that draws out suicide, right?
Well, yeah. What was his, I mean, what was his game plan? Let's say he had killed all of them because, you know, the sister survived.
Yeah.
So what was his story then going to be? That a bunch of people broke into the house and I managed to escape?
I don't think deranged people like that think it through. They act and then afterwards they pick up the pieces if they can. I don't think he thought it through. I think he was just, there was rage or there was fear or there was something going on. And possibly some drugs.
But he looks very cool and calm and collected, that kind of stuff, yeah? Which just proves
he's still on drugs.
Psycho.
Well, that's what I would say. Obviously, speculating wildly from a position of absolutely no authority. I think the man's unstable.
Justice Malala, who will be with us again on Thursday, has written a very hardcore article called In This Black Republic, Black Lives Don't Matter. And he's obviously written about the issues around those mentally ill patients who were in...
The 94 who died.
Yeah, who were in the care of the Department of Health here in Gauteng. And it's just a very hardcore article. So we'll have to talk to him about that when Thursday comes around. You know, Justice is here every Thursday for the Burning Platform. If you've missed it every time, what the hell have you been doing?
Man, you know? Where is the article?
You can find that
like
one.
Tweeted it?
You can find that on the Rand Daily Mail. Yeah. I'll forward it to you if he hasn't tweeted it yet. But it's just, it's very powerful stuff. It'll make you uncomfortable, which is what great stuff should do some of the time. It's not all there to make you feel better about the world.
Sure.
All right. What else is going on?
So police have now ruled out any foul play in their investigation into George Michael's death. Because remember, his body was discovered by Fadi Fawaz, who dated the singer from 2012 until his death.
Mm-hmm.
There were stories about how George was struggling with drug abuse and, you know, they alluded to the possibility of, you know, an overdose or a suicide. But now that police have completed their investigation, they've actually ruled that no, there was nothing sinister in George's death.
Well, why did anyone think there was in the first place? Because
the guy that he was dating, and I think a cousin of George Michael, were the ones who started speaking about how he'd suffered from depression, how he'd battled drugs, and, you know, how he wasn't in a bad shape leading up to his death. So then people started to speculate.
I just, you know what? Sometimes people just have had enough. And in this case, he committed suicide.
No, but that the police are saying no. That's they've ruled out any foul play there.
Yeah, so he killed himself. Or was he just... Oh, no, sorry. God, I'm mixing things up here. Yeah, George Michael died. He had the heart attack or something, right?
Mm.
But it was probably drug-induced because he's been on the stuff all his life. So that's why I got mixed up with the suicide thing. Sorry, I just completely confused that in my head. I'm going to miss the guy. Some great songs. But?
No, well, he hadn't done anything in like a good decade. Even more than that. I really do think, yeah, he had good innings. And yeah, if I had
you're
to
one
be
of those,
honest,
you're
I would
one of those
like
people
to
who,
leave on top as well.
Yeah, you're one of those people who doesn't want anybody to last past their sell-by date so that they can always be amazing.
No.
Yeah.
I have to be honest. On my birthday on Friday, I really did think like, wow, you have about like 13 more years before you reach like your Marilyn Monroe year.
Yeah.
Like she died when she was 35, I think. But, and I think, not that I want people to die, but those are good innings. What would you have thought of Marilyn Monroe in like a wheelchair and an adult diaper. Like a diaper?
Listen, just to be clear, because I just looked this up now. So they still say that the cause of death is unknown. That's why I was confused, because, you know, people have been talking. The only one who can say that he's really thrilled at the moment is Fadi Fawaz, because as Mubs says, he's been cleared, so they've ruled out foul play. But they still don't know what exactly was that killed him. They're still not 100% sure.
Which is confusing, because surely you conduct a toxicology report on the corpse.
Right.
And then results come from that, right?
Well, you would hope. I don't know. People don't just, they don't just fall down. There's got to be some reason. And he died on Christmas Day. They found him in his bed, dead.
Mm. Fadi Fawaz found him.
But they don't know what it was.
Mm.
It's very odd.
He just had his last Christmas turkey. And it's like,
Christmas.
Good innings. Oh, shame.
I don't think he even woke up for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I think he was dead on Christmas Eve.
I drank a little too much.
Do you think?
The day before. I'm sorry, I'm being insensitive. Okay,
terrible.
Let me be nice.
All right, I saw this clip. Ben has just sent it to me now. This is also great. Stephen Colbert and Ricky Gervais started talking about God. Ricky Gervais is, of course, an atheist, and Stephen Colbert is a Catholic, I think. And it got quite interesting. I mean, look, it could have been even more interesting. But I just think, first of all, on this matter... You got two funny people.
Mm-hmm.
Both Ricky Gervais and Stephen Colbert are both funny guys, right?
Well, yeah, it's particularly Gervais. That's been
right.
His career, the funny English guy.
But in this case, what's interesting about it is that Colbert is very serious and Gervais is very flippant about it. Until a certain point, then they almost switch sides. Not in terms of what they think about religion or God, but in terms of their attitude to it. It becomes very serious for one and it becomes not so serious for the other. I thought this would be worth listening to, especially for people who, you know, we always have these conversations on this show. It's one of the few things, one of the few places we can have these conversations, because you have to sit with reasonable people if you're going to talk about God. Otherwise, everybody gets upset. You know, it's one of those places where everybody has an opinion and everybody has a reason to get offended.
We were talking about this tweet before about that you liked this tweet that was talking about how you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
That it should get a knighthood. Do you have any interest in a knighthood? Because British performers end up like getting a knighthood for service to the community or drama or something like that. Is that any interest to you?
Well, it doesn't. It's not like it was in the olden days. If it meant I could go down the street on a horse with a sword killing people, then yes. But it's nothing. It doesn't. It's nothing now. You can't do
badge and stuff like that, and you get like a
badge. Give me a big sword and a horse, then I'll take it. You know what I mean?
Talking about hell about this tweet about you going to hell.
Yeah.
I know that you're an atheist, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. People have been debating. That's the devil waiting for you in hell, by the way. Yeah. Would you want to debate the existence of God? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ricky Gervais, why is there something instead of nothing?
That makes no sense
at
all.
You have to answer my question.
That's not the two choices.
Choices I'm giving you, I'm the host.
Well, I don't...
You want to concede the debate? Why is there something instead of nothing?
Hold on. Yes? What do you mean, out of nothing? What do you
why is there something instead of why is there nothing? Why does the universe exist at all? Is there something?
But surely the bigger question is not why, but how? Well, why is it relevant?
Okay, fine. How is there something? Because you think of God as the prime mover. How is there anything instead of nothing?
I don't. This is a ridiculous.
Is there a
premise.
Prime mover? Is there a demiurge that started everything?
Well, outside science and nature, I don't believe so. Because the interesting thing is, this is the thing, right? So, I'm an agnostic atheist, technically. Agnostics means no one knows whether there's a God. So everyone's technically agnostic. We don't know.
That's true.
An agnostic atheist is someone who doesn't know there's a God or not, as no one does.
So you're not convicted of your atheism?
Well, I am.
Sure.
No, I am, because atheism is only rejecting the claim that there is a God. Atheism isn't a belief system. Mm-hmm. So this is atheism in a nutshell. You say there's a God. I say, can you prove that? You say no. I say, I don't believe you then. Mm-hmm. So... you believe in one God, I assume?
In three persons, but go ahead.
Okay, so you believe... Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but there are about 3,000 to choose from that have been, you know, people who believe in...
I've done some reading, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically, you believe in... You deny one less God than I do. You don't believe in 2,999 gods, uh-huh. And I don't believe in just one more.
Right. Do you ever have a feeling of great gratitude for existence?
Of course.
I know the
chances are billions to one that I am on this planet as me and never will be again.
And I know I can't convince you that there is a God, nor do I really want to convince you there's a God, but
no.
I can only explain my experience, which is that I have a strong desire to direct that gratitude toward something or someone.
Of course.
And that thing is God.
We're mortal. We want to make sense of nature and science. And it's too unfathomable that everything in the universe was once crunched into something smaller than an atom.
But you don't know that.
Well.
You're just believing Stephen Hawking, and that's a matter of faith in his abilities.
Yes.
You don't know it yourself. You're accepting that because someone told you.
Yeah, well, but science is constantly proved all the time. You see, if we take something like any fiction, in any holy book, in any other fiction, and destroyed it, okay, in 1,000 years' time, that wouldn't come back just as it was. Yeah. Whereas if we took every science book, right, and every fact, and destroyed them all, in 1,000 years, they'd all be back, because all the same tests would be the same result.
That's good. That's really good.
I don't need faith in science. I don't need faith to know that probably if I jump out of a window, every other time someone jumped out, they smash to the ground because of this thing called gravity.
And then Satan would be raping you.
This is why I'm a good boy.
Ricky, please come back and debate something even more.
Sure.
David Brent, Life on the Road, is on Netflix February 10th.
Anyway, so you get the basic idea. He threw, Stephen Colbert threw three or four questions, which I have often had to put up with myself at Ricky Gervais. First one is, why is this something that's dead and nothing? And that's, as he says, it's kind of the more important question is, how is there something instead of nothing? And wouldn't you like to find that out? Far more than why. Second thing is, why would we feel this gratitude, this sense of belonging in the universe, this sense of we need to report to something?
Mm.
And that's just because we're looking for meaning. We're looking for a reason that we're here. We don't want to imagine that we're here just by circumstance. But the reality is that everybody is. I mean, if your parents hadn't had sex on that particular day at that particular time, you wouldn't have been you. You would have been one of your siblings or someone very different. So chance plays a huge part in this. Your DNA happens to have survived. You know, there's lots of stuff that has happened that is purely happenstance. And then there's that other question of, you know, if you believe in science, then you must have faith. But I don't – people who understand science or who are interested in science don't believe in science. It's not like they go, well, that's good enough for me. Science goes, here's a proposition, like let's say the theory of gravity or let's say the fact that the Earth is round. Here's a proposition. If you can prove me wrong, I will change my mind. That's the opposite of what religion does. Religion says, here's what we believe. If you don't like it or you disagree with it, we will burn you. So it's a totally different paradox. Or paradigm, rather. Sorry, not paradox. It's paradoxical, but it's a paradigm. And there are a lot of other interesting things that we can get into this morning, but I don't want to rush out of or run out of time. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. I'm screwing up all my vocabulary this morning. I don't know whether I'm a teapot or a hockey stick. But I just thought that that would be an interesting point of view, considering especially that Stephen Colbert is, you know, he's a self-proclaimed kind of, you know, a good Catholic. He wants people to know that that's part of who he is. And Ricky Gervais is very proud of the fact that he is not a believer. And you should be proud of whatever your position is,
yeah,
provided you can back it up. And if you can back it up, and both these gentlemen seem to be able to back it up, good for you. There's no reason for us to have fights about this stuff.
But don't you find that non-believers generally, I think, part of where they annoy people is they tend to be a very sanctimonious bunch.
Mm.
You know, they talk down to believers and they, you know, speak of them as if, oh, well, you're stupid for believing.
When I think that's the problem. Yeah.
Is typically or generally speaking, non-believers have this arrogance about them that just annoys people.
Yeah, that's where the true clash comes in. Yeah.
Like, yeah, sanctimonious.
Really, yeah.
It's still better to be sanctimonious than to have burnt thousands of people who disagreed with you over the centuries. Don't come at me with the fact that non-believers have a bad attitude. They're not going around hacking off people's heads because they don't conform to the religion, which is precisely the history of every major religion going back 5,000 or more years.
No, I mean, I'm just from what I've observed. I mean,
even
Ricky Gervais himself, you know, he's often called people stupid for believing in that. That would annoy anyone.
Because the basis is what I say has proof to it. You are telling me
on faith,
you know, from a book about, you know, someone who had a baby and was a virgin, you know, and a bush that could send you a message and speak to you.
What, you haven't encountered a burning bush? How dare you? And also, you know,
no, a man who died and came back to life. No. I mean,
what, you haven't seen that?
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, zombies. I watched The Walking Dead. Come on. Did you watch The Walking Dead? Yeah, when is that Game of Thrones coming back on? God damn it.
Oh.
Feels like forever I've been waiting.
Let's
see my Khaleesi again.
I think it's in April. Let's do it.
And what season are you guys on now? So you're going into your eighth.
This will be season 7.
Why do you say us? You're not a fan?
No, it's an us and them.
Sia thinks that Game of Thrones is a complete waste of time.
I couldn't get through the first episode of the first season, so I'm really out of this now.
Look,
after that opening sequence.
It's not for everyone. That's fine.
That opening sequence was way too long for me. Then was way too icy and cold. Then there were heads being hacked off. Then there was a son who was trying to aim. Then they gave off Lil Fox. I'm done.
We're going to leave you behind in the dust on that one. Ben, what else is going on TV? I know you keep an eye on all the best series.
Well, the greatest thing is Planet Earth 2. I know that for a fact. But I've started watching this thing called Black Mirror. It's a few years old.
Yeah, what is that?
Wow.
You gave it to me to watch. I haven't seen it yet. What is it? Just a mind-blowing
It makes you feel like you are high when you watch. Like it, no, it warps your mind
completely
so badly. You actually get a little bit afraid. Like, am I okay? Like, am I a stable, sane person after having watched that show?
Basically, it's just pinpointing the dangers of this world we live in with technology and society, the way it's going, and it's pretty hectic. Like, you have to watch it. Just find it, whatever your subscription-based stuff is for whatever entertainment. It's crazy. Like, there's certain scenarios that they throw out there, and I can't really say much more. You have to watch it.
Jen Su has been at, she was in America, and now she's come back to South Africa. She has interviewed the guy from the Blue Man Group. You know them? They wear those outfits.
I've been seeing their promos everywhere all over town. Yeah.
So they're performing in South Africa for the first time. Blue Man Group opening performance tomorrow night at the Teatro in Monte Cassino in conjunction with big concerts. So she interviewed Phil Stanton, who's the co-founder of the Blue Man Group. You know, they wear those blue body suits.
But what do they do? What is their act, their gimmick?
It's like acrobatic and stuff, from what I understand. I haven't watched this.
Yeah, I don't actually, I don't know what they do. Do they?
Should we not listen to this?
No, we don't know. So we might actually learn something.
You know, funnily enough, in all of the promos as well, I see them like playing on drums. Then I see three guys in blue. Then what is it? Actually, I really don't know.
I think they do acrobatic stuff. If somebody knows, please tell us. We need to know. I don't know what the Blue Man Group do.
So we're with Phil Stanton. He's the co-founder of the Blue Man Group. We are here in New York City. This is no lie. I'm here in the flesh. Hello, Phil.
It's true. Hello. And hello from New York. Hello, South Africa.
Woohoo! Right. Well, South Africa is so excited to have Blue Man Group coming. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, for those of you who may not have heard of Blue Man Group, it's the show itself is kind of a very wide experience. It's a multimedia kind of potpourri of lots and lots of different influences, lots and lots of different technologies. It never really stays in any one vibe for very long. At the same time, the whole evening tells sort of an emotional story, I would say. It begins with sort of getting to know this outside character of the Blue Man, who is really an outsider from within. He's really there to mirror ourselves and the way we live and the things that are important to
and
us.
And you're one of the Blue Men. I mean, you get out there and I mean, fully blue.
I do.
Blue.
Yeah, I am. I go through that transformation.
As opposed to the Blue Man Group with small patches of yellow. That's what Jen was getting at.
And every now and then, I don't perform on stage much anymore, but I still get bald and blue, as we say, and perform in the character for videos and things like that and workshops. And
I still don't know what they do.
Yeah, nope. I also don't know.
Anybody, if anybody knows
what
these guys
do. Are we missing something?
Yeah, like, seriously, this is... I know who they are. I can picture them in my head, right? They wear those skin-tight blue, like, shiny outfits.
Well, now we figure out that they paint themselves blue.
No. No, they wear it. No.
Did I just... He just says
no,
he comes out blue.
No, they wear a thing. They wear a whole...
Oh, is it like lycra?
Suit?
Or like,
yeah, like a bodysuit.
Oh, I can't breathe.
Come on.
For them.
At least I know that.
Oh, no, I still haven't got anything.
And how will this show be different in South Africa or unique?
Well, just anything that we can grab hold of that we know what they do.
In South Africa.
Well, some of the parts of the show that are site-specific, I would say, have to do with music. We always go in and find musical pieces that are known and loved by the culture we're in. And other ways, there are just pop cultural elements all through it that are, some of them are really up to date. The way we use our phones and
I sense they're going to be using Where My Lamin.
Oh, no. Please don't. And please also, anything from The Lion King is not African.
Oh, they will. They'll use that
the way we live these days and how technology influences us. There's a lot of humor and a lot of actually celebration around some of those elements. And we find that those are universal the world round.
Mm-mm. It's like a crazy dance fest. And, you know, we love that stuff in South Africa. And all.
Okay, now we've got an idea. It's like a dance festival. It's like a dance thing on stage with these guys in blue.
So they dance.
I think so. I think that's all we got. Huh? All right, well, thank
you. We've done a riveting review on the show.
Clearly, all of us are lining up to go to the Blue Man Group. All right, sorry. Thanks, Jen. Jen trying to get us a little more culturally aware. I can't do stage shows, man. I'm just not able to sit there that long and concentrate. I know it's very bad. I probably have no sophistication whatsoever. I'm a rube. I'm a Philistine. Call me what you will. I can't sit in that stuff anymore. There was a time. I once had the patience. I can't do it.
Well, if it's truly spectacular, then yes.
Sia, if you sent me to a play, and the best actors in the world were in this play,
yeah,
and it was longer than 40 minutes, I would die.
But like a live concert is different. You'd sit for a live concert.
Yeah. That I'd do.
But a theatrical production, you're asking for too much.
Oh, no.
Not even like a good old classic like Annie.
No, please. I would take... Please, are you kidding?
Fame.
Ben, do you do musicals?
Please, no.
See? We're all...
Do you know what this is? This is your Game of Thrones moment. Like, you don't understand how we're not into musicals and that it's exactly...
So,
like
you know
that.
Now there's a school of rock musical. You wouldn't even watch that.
No.
Devil Wears Prada is going to Broadway. What?
Hell no.
All right. So,
when people sing at me, I get really uncomfortable. I don't know what to do because I can't engage with them. I dance? I don't dance. Okay, it's really uncomfortable for me.
Not even a snap of a finger.
I feel almost like I'm being interrogated and I have no answers. So I sit there and I panic.
Okay.
I just don't know what to do.
Then you must go to the musicals and enjoy from the front row of the musicals.
This doesn't get your soul kicking.
No, look at his face.
Oh my goodness.
Look at Ben's face. He looks very confused right now that Gareth started singing at him.
Everybody loves to go to the show except Mabali, Gareth, Ben, and the host. Oh, wait, there's something I got to get to before we get our guest this morning.
Hose did it, huh?
Oh, well, hose.
Hose of musicals, something.
Anybody got a clue what I'm talking about here?
A hoe musical.
Please tell me you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. But you remembered immediately after saying hose. So I'm thinking that's what triggered it.
So there's this chick on Dr. Phil.
Yes!
You know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody's been passing this around. How about Cash Me Outside, how about that? Okay, so this is a chick she's like been on the streets, and she comes in, she's got long fingernails, she's got long hair, she's got big earrings, she's white trash. I mean, let's not mess around. Cash Me Outside, how about that? Listen to how that comes up. That's what she says, because she calls the entire audience hoes. Listen.
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup. And all these hoes laughing like so funny.
She's talking about the audience, that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep.
This is just too funny for a number of reasons. First of all, you got Dr. Phil sitting there. He's the least streetwise guy in the universe, right? And Dr. Phil's like, so you're calling the audience hoes. And she is. She's calling the audience hoes. Then they pan in and they zoom into these different women in the crowd who this chick is called hoes. Mm. And they're all smiling and clapping. You're like, no, honey, you don't clap for that. Listen to them.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's the line.
Dr. Phil is so confused at this point. He's just like, I don't even understand what you're saying.
So what she's saying is, let's go outside. I'll take you all on, right?
Catch me outside.
But,
how about
that? She says it like this. Cash me outside. How about that? Ben, listen again.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Catch her outside, and she'll go outside and do what she has to do. That's what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
is
okay,
all,
yeah.
This is all, but don't you see that this is all mouth? This is mouth.
Oh,
so you want to take this outside? Because I think they can bring cameras outside.
Really? Because I think I flipped you.
You want to do it again?
Danny, don't get all tough. Please.
Jesus,
don't.
She walks up to her mother. She wants to hit her mother. She's 13, this girl.
When did Dr. Phil go Jerry Springer?
Don't know, but it's great.
This is so sad, simply because A,
this is not Dr. Phil. Like, middle-aged white man, not at all. Secondly,
By the way, there's a white girl, though.
Yes, right, and he is trying to figure this out, and it's so he's so out of death, and he's trying to figure it out in, like, a doctor therapy, analyze the emotions. He's not getting anything here.
No, she's too far gone.
Hey, sit down.
All right, Dean.
Sit down. Clip me now.
Cash me outside, how about that?
That's
where it comes from. But they've turned it into a song.
Yes.
Of course.
It's amazing.
Memes for days as well.
Let me find the song for you because that's terrific. And it's apparently had 200 million views or something in the last while.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Okay, here comes the song. You ready?
How about that?
Yes.
Sweet, the weed makes God.
And there are about 100 of these songs.
Catch you outside.
I love the way he doesn't know what she means.
No, he's absolutely confused.
What I just said.
Yeah. I, it's just so great. Like, Dr. Phil, it had to happen on his show. I love it. You got to see this girl to believe it, though. Just type in Cash Me Outside. And you'll see what comes. C-A-S-H.
Considering, though, I don't think this would have flown with a Jerry Springer audience. There would have been at least 4 people from the audience jumping up at her.
Yeah, someone would have been hit by now.
Someone
would have been smashed in the face. All right, well, that's all we got time for this morning. We got to get to our guest, which is Terence Titi Tlachwayo, who's going to come in and tell us about the NYDA. You know what that is. And there's an important new movement, the Lead Me As I Lead You movement. Basically, they're talking about how there are good men in society that still exist, because there are a lot of horrible, terrible, nasty men out there who make life very, very difficult, not just for women, but for other men, for children, for the whole community. And he wants us to know that there are actually a few good men, and we need to help and celebrate and bring attention to those guys rather than all the shitheads out there who are causing trouble. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Sia.
Oh, really wasn't expecting
to go that way.
No, of course I'm not. So we'll meet Terence Titi Tlachwayo just now, and we'll speak to him about all of this and more. Take your calls, take your comments, and let us know.
And take
you
outside.
How about that?
Cash me outside. How about that? Gotta say it right.
CliffCentral.com.